to the Security Lab podcast.
Talk about something a little bit more edgy and risky, like a deep fake. Lee, do you have any thoughts about it? What have you heard about deep fake?
Seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. That's what I heard. Deep fakes. Ultimately, I think people tend to look for information that reinforces what they believe and what they want to know. And that, in essence, is what deep fake can be used.
What is a deepfake?
Machine learning models duking it out.
Sounds like two robots having it at each other, but that I don't think that's what it is.
It isn't. I think that's the technicalities behind it. It's the technology or the algorithm that's being used where you have the two adversarial models working on it. But generally, deepfake is where you can superimpose using technology and create something which is fake, but it is real enough that people believe it. And then, for any reasons that you want to use it for.
So you're saying I can superimpose Sky and give him a six-pack and tell him that he's modeled in a bodybuilding competition?
Not only that. I'm saying you can have a look at Sky when he is 16, or even 64, or 74. And still very strong and fit.
China has already done this, actually. I've actually seen some articles that showed this beautiful girl being an internet influencer, a YouTube influencer, you know, going there to influence people to buy this, to drink this, to eat that, and somebody actually photographed this girl at her real self, as her real self, and she is like almost double the size of who she portrayed herself to be, and she is definitely not somebody you would like to take on a date, you know, when the real self, and they actually showed her in the same scene that she was doing her program. So it proved that actually it is possible.
So the technology exists, and then I believe Nigel also at one time during some webinar, he actually mentioned that with the use of voice, you can actually dupe people over maybe a phone call to, you know, pretending to be somebody that you are, make them believe that you are who you say you are, and make them do things that you want them to, like transfer money to you. And then here's something to think about also, yeah. Also from the media outlet called The Information, they're saying that Silicon Valley venture capitalists are actually investing in startups via virtual meetings. So that's something to think about. They are now actually foregoing the process of meeting face-to-face with startups and founders, and actually signing checks for these startups are worth a few billion just after meeting them over a virtual meeting. So I think that I think this is an opportunity for bad guys to take advantage of. Anybody have any thoughts?
You know, interestingly, deepfakes could do a lot of good stuff, but right now we're only seeing all the bad case studies. So for example, HSBC launched a service where you can authenticate using your voice. Guess what? Someone was able to mirror another person's, his brother's voice, the authentication passed, and he was able to do banking. So if you look at it, it's quite scary. And it's not just isolated. We are seeing companies like Adobe coming up with products that can mirror or duplicate voices or videos. You know, like those days we used to say, this picture is photoshopped. That was just a still picture. But today, movies, we've seen on social media where someone can be talking, but another split image of, say, Barack Obama or Donald Trump talking and mirroring the same kind of actions that you see. So then the question is, how do you know what's deepfake and what's not?
I want to ask you the same question. Being a practitioner, is there a way we can actually differentiate the real and not the real?
Today, I believe a couple of weeks ago, I saw an article about how you could use generative adversarial networks, or GANs, to detect whether it's a deepfake or not. For example, I can't remember the URL, but there was a website that would generate a picture for you. And it's very live, very likely, and that person doesn't exist. And the picture was generated based on a model that has learned over a few thousand Americans.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now, back to the show.
So you can generate a picture and the person doesn't exist. And we've seen these kind of technologies being used for phishing or even for scams. Someone creates a false identity, creates a LinkedIn account and starts communicating with you, establishing trust, getting information, and we've seen attacks happening to these kind of social media. It's very difficult from a layperson's perspective to see if this person is really a human being or it's just, and with so much of media buying and you can establish yourself very easily, it's not difficult for someone to create what we call as a sock puppet, where it's an account that looks like a real person, may act like a real person, but it's actually just a dummy that's controlled by someone.
I think we are at the point where it's very easy to create deepfakes, given that we have a lot of software and technology available, so anybody could do something like that. I remember reading once, because there are a lot of Zoom meetings in the MCO, so somebody actually created something like that, which a picture superimposed on it and then put it everywhere else to attend meeting on behalf. So the danger that we're looking at, although I know I agree that we can do a lot of good with deep fakes.
I need to learn that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just a video on the loop. It's as simple as a video on the loop, and then you slowly crawl away and the guy is like, I'm nodding.
Yes, I'm listening. Yeah, good point. Yep, awesome. And you'll be out sipping tea or doing whatever you want to do, right? So it's as easy as that.
But to be fair, I think because maybe we have seen the one side of it, I've tried doing some of these things like superimposing and all that over the last couple of months because of MCO. It is not as easy as we say. It does have its learning curve, and it takes time to perfect those touches. The ones that are guided by the software are very easily identified. You need a little bit of expertise in it. Right? If you tie this with what we've discussed on dark basing, then maybe it's possible because these guys are full-time doing things. But for any other guys out there, people like us, I don't think it's easy to do. So to be fair, not to instill so much of FUD, fear, uncertainty and doubt, but rather, it's not as easy as we think. For the time being, we are still okay, I think. Not to scare everybody outside there.
By the way, Sky, why we were learning all these things, huh? Okay.
Thanks for joining us this week on Security Lab. Make sure to visit our website at securitylab.asia, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show.